Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear about efforts to make Earth Day every day for the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
In April, we celebrate Earth Day, honoring our commitment to environmental preservation. With more than 13,000 service members and civilians working in 58 different communities across our great state, we have the potential to make a positive environmental impact. Just one example of our commitment is the 60-acre, 10-megawatt solar field now operational at Camp Ripley. Harnessing the power of the sun, this project produces enough energy to power the entire camp, earning Minnesota the Pentagon's Environmental Award for Natural Resources Conservation. The Camp Ripley Solar Project is just one of the many environmentally conscious efforts made by your Minnesota National Guard. Whether it's our renewable energy projects, wildlife management, or building new energy-efficient facilities, we're taking action to protect our shared environment, not just on Earth Day, but every day. For more information, please visit MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/environment. That's MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/environment.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Jay Brzezinka, who's been employed by the Minnesota National Guard since 1992. And in October 2016, he was promoted to the position of Environmental Program Manager up at Camp Ripley. And Jay, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Jay, good to talk to you again. We just heard from the boss, and Camp Ripley really is like a small town, and with the solar power and all the rest of the things up there, you want to be self-sufficient.
Yeah, we're trying to do we're targeting a lot of renewable energy projects within our organization, and as the general mentioned, the solar field is one of our larger keynote projects that we did here a few years back with Minnesota Power. We're actually also in another project right now. We're under design to do a biomass facility on Camp Ripley to heat up to seven of our largest buildings here on the installation.
There's always something exciting going on up at Camp Ripley, isn't there?
Oh, there sure is.
Now, Jay, I understand that you have two different environmental programs or departments within the National Guard. Can you explain a little about each of your programs?
Sure. Yeah, we actually have two environmental teams. We have what we call an environmental compliance team, which is housed under the facility management office. And their primary role is involved with things like air quality, water quality, hazardous waste, solid waste, more of your environmental type compliance programs. But we also have two staff that are engaged with our sustainability program. And then we have another nine members that are involved in what we call our environmental conservation program. So if you can envision fisheries, wildlife, forestry, kind of the land management elements of natural resource management. They're involved in managing all the natural and cultural resources that the Department of Military Affairs owns, which is primarily Camp Ripley.
And Jay, I've been up there with several groups over the period of years, and you got a pretty good briefing on everything that goes on at Camp Ripley and the wildlife there and all the various things going on that large piece of land are just incredible.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're probably one of the most biologically and culturally rich environments in the state of Minnesota. We're kind of right in that transition zone within the state of all three major biomes. So because of that, we have a large diversity of plant and animal life, and also a culturally rich environment. We have 18 miles on the Mississippi River and 7 miles on the Croin River. So there's a lot of historic cultural values that come along with the river, which was a navigational route many years ago.
And Jay, I would guess that part of your job there is to try to balance all of the heavy training that happens up at Camp Ripley every year, along with the environment and all the wildlife.
You know, that's a big thing we deal with is we talk about managing the triple bottom line, which is mission, environment, and community. And I think our organization does a great job in doing that, trying to figure that balance between still maintaining the mission and trying to really manage that environment. I mean, Ripley is a 53,000-acre game refuge, so it's, you know, arguably, like I had mentioned earlier, one of the biologically richest environments in the state. So finding that balance and then also working with your community has been a big part of our program, and it's really kind of helped lead to the success of our program also.
And, of course, among the wildlife, as we said, in the summertime, we get thousands and thousands of soldiers up there tramping around and camping and doing their missions. And you got to keep track of that wildlife as well.
That is correct, yep.
Jay, you mentioned sustainability and net zero. What initiatives are you doing to meet those type of objectives?
So Major General John Jensen has a campaign plan, and he has five different priorities. And I know the line of effort number four deals with fiscal and property responsibility. So within that, we've been targeting some sustainability initiatives, and that's mainly centered around energy, water, and waste. So what we're trying to do is trying to lower our footprint on how much energy we use. So there's some targeted initiatives to try to reduce our energy footprint by 30% use. Water, we're trying to actually reduce our use of water by 15%. And, of course, a large program that we're doing now here at Camp Ripley targeting organic waste, but in particular we're trying to reduce our solid waste, in other words, waste that we send to the landfill by 75% by the year 2030. The governor also has very similar initiatives relating to those sustainability objectives. But the Adjutant General has been very forward in trying to figure out ways to not only maintain the environment, but try to find that balance between mission and the environment. And, of course, the sustainability program is a way to do it.
We're speaking with Jay Brzezinka, Environmental Program Manager, Minnesota National Guard at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Jay, a lot of our frequent listeners know that in addition to the Minnesota National Guard, there's a lot of other agencies that use Camp Ripley, such as the Highway Patrol and MnDOT and Homeland Security. And so you've got a lot of people coming and going up there.
Yeah, we do. The civilian use now on the installation is probably a third. Like you had mentioned, a lot of the state agencies, whether it's DOT, I know the Department of Natural Resources, the conservation officers have their academy here. The State Patrol has their academy here. So there's no doubt we're seeing a large influx of civilian use, which is great because this is a state-owned facility. It's used for a dual purpose, both military mission and civilian missions, and that's probably why it's such a valuable resource.
And as good partners, all those folks that you or agencies you mentioned, I'm sure they get involved in the sustainability and taking care of the environment as well.
Yeah, we do. We work very closely. I know the state of Minnesota has a new department called the Office of Enterprise Sustainability. They're the group that's really helping target sustainability initiatives across the state of Minnesota with all the different types of agencies. We work very closely with Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I know they have a program called RETAP, Retired Environmental Technical Assistant Program, and we've actually worked with the MPCA to bring some staff into our programs to help us do different types of building audits to look at basically the envelope of a building, look at the furnaces, the appliances, the windows, look for opportunities where we can make a difference so we can save energy and heat, those types of things. So that's from a compliance standpoint. We also have a lot of partners as it relates to our conservation program. Department of Natural Resources is very engaged with us in doing a lot of our research here on the installation. The local soil and water conservation districts, Nature Conservancy, counties, we've been doing a lot of work with them, and as it relates to land management, both on Camp Ripley and also with our surrounding neighbors.
Jay, I bet you've seen a lot of changes and a lot of new partners since 1992 when you started.
That's for sure. But you can't do it alone, right? I mean, the best way to be successful is to engage others, whether it's the community, you know, whether it's civic leaders, and whether it's the partners that deal with resource management. And we're not experts at everything, but if there's an opportunity to work with others, I think that has been a big part of our success, and we'll continue to do that.
Camp Ripley is certainly a fantastic state asset. And, Jay, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Jay Brzezinka, Environmental Program Manager at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Jay Brzezinka, who's the Environmental Program Manager for the Minnesota National Guard at Camp Ripley. He's been up there on the job since 1992, and he's been in this position since 2016. And, Jay, we were talking about all the environmental programs and sustainability, and we didn't really get to net zero. Can you explain net zero to me?
You bet. So we're trying to get net zero as it relates to energy and water and waste. In other words, the amount of energy that we use, we're trying to either create renewable energy or reduce the amount of energy that we're using. And just to give you a couple of examples, we did what we call an energy challenge a couple of years ago to actually challenge all of our soldiers that are in all of our armories and facilities across the state of Minnesota, and, of course, all the facilities on camp to try to use less energy. In other words, close doors, turn the lights off, work with our automated systems, telling us your, you know, give us your schedule so we know we can turn the air conditioning down on July 4th because we know nobody's going to be there. So we tried a bunch of different automated systems and also some behavioral ways to try to kind of like a friendly competition with the soldiers. And when we first kicked off that energy challenge 4 years ago, we've asked them to reduce their energy use by 3%, and we had like 60-some facilities do that, and it saved the guard about $24,000 of energy costs that year. The next year, we got up to 91 of our facilities participating in that energy challenge, and we saved over $480,000 in energy use. And that was climate normalized, so we did just these behavioral things, closing doors, especially as an example of the big maintenance facilities when they bring in a tank into the big maintenance bay. If they close the door right away or if they close the door a minute later, that makes a big difference on cooling that whole bay. So just those small behavioral things made a big difference in both heating and energy costs, which saved our organization over $500,000.
And Jay, a couple of years ago, you opened that solar panel or power up there. And I understand the tornado kind of nicked it for a little while.
Yeah, we did have some straight line winds that kind of rocked through that our solar array. But that project in itself was a great project, a 10-megawatt solar field, 62 acres. The renewable energy, camp at its full capacity has about a 4-megawatt use, daily use. That's a 10-megawatt facility. So the energy that generates over the year will almost equal to the amount of energy that Camp Ripley uses for about a year. So, of course, sun isn't always shining, but the whole point is, it was a partnership. I know Minnesota Power had to have a certain percentage of their energy, their renewable energy in solar, so there was a requirement they had to meet, great requirement for us to meet, and now we have a solar field on post that we can hook up to the grid, so if we don't use the power, it goes on to the grid, so it's a win-win situation both for Minnesota Power and the Minnesota National Guard.
What a great addition to Camp Ripley. Jay, I want to talk a little bit about natural resources at Camp Ripley. Can you tell us a little bit about what's up there?
You know, again, Camp Ripley, 53,000 acres in size, arguably one of the most biologically rich environments, probably have about 620 plant species, 201 bird species, and I think like 51 mammal species. So really diverse, two large rivers that border our boundary, state-owned facility right smack dab in where we have the three major biomes of the areas where all the different biomes from the conifers to the big woods to the prairies meet. So we're really fortunate from that perspective to have this rich diversity. We've got an active team that does a lot of management. We have wolves, you know, which are a threatened species. We got the northern long-eared bat, which is another endangered species. So this large 52,000 acres is like an island of biodiversity. So having that, we see we have a large species richness, which just showcases the value of the land here in central Minnesota.
We're speaking with Jay Brzezinka, Environmental Program Manager for the Minnesota National Guard at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Jay, we were talking about partnerships with a lot of agencies in Minnesota, but you've got partnerships with all the veteran service stations here in Minnesota. They like to come up there and make use of your natural resources.
Yeah, they sure do. We got a really inactive outreach program. We have a lot of opportunities for vets and deployed soldiers to hunt and fish on the installation. This spring, of course, is our annual turkey hunt. I know the Disabled American Veterans Turkey Hunt, we did cancel that event. It was going to be 29 through 30 April. But that's an opportunity where vets have an opportunity to actually come out and hunt with a mentor here on the installation. I know we're still hosting our deployed soldier turkey hunts, where we're trying to still meet the social distance requirements, so we're just going to have a check station where soldiers will come in, check in, and then have an opportunity to hunt. So, but I know with the Disabled Veterans Hunt, the American Legion, the VF, there's a lot of DOD organizations, civic organizations that get very engaged in supporting those events for those vets.
The DAV's up there a lot, and even our paralyzed veterans get up there, and I'm sure they're all looking forward to the fall hunts.
Yeah, the fall hunts will come around again. We got a great opportunity in the fall with the whitetail deer hunts. We have several hunts for vets, several hunts for deployed soldiers. We actually have a youth hunt now also here on the installation, which is organized by the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association and Minnesota State Archery Association. So we have two other partnerships that help implement that hunt. But even prior to the hunt, we still have our scheduled Trolling for the Troops event, which is going to be June 4th through 5th. We haven't canceled that yet, but a lot of that will be pending. But that's another opportunity where we take out disabled veterans and recently deployed soldiers on some fishing trips, either to Mille Lacs or also or along the Mississippi River here.
And then in the summertime, you have the military youth camps up there as well.
Yeah, the youth camps always in August, a great opportunity for children of soldiers and airmen to have an opportunity to actually spend a week up here with a youth camp. And I know our office gets very engaged in providing them opportunities, whether it's running, hiking, biking, and then we do some environmental work with the students also, with the kids also.
Now, Jay, I got to come back to the military use. You're going to have all kinds of soldiers and airmen up there training pretty much all year, but this summer they're going to come up there and they're going to do things like shooting howitzers and maybe shoot some weapons off of tanks, and they're going to make some noise. What are you doing to try to keep the neighboring parties happy? I know you've got a formal program for that.
You bet. I mean, the General Cruz and his team actually do go out and reach all the civic groups, the three counties, mayors, civic leaders. We do a lot of outreach in the spring of the year to kind of educate all of our community around Camp Ripley, you know, what's going to happen, when the units are coming in, when the aircraft is expected here, when field artillery is going to fire. And speaking of fire, we're actually, our wildland fire program is one of our biggest programs. They're currently burning one of the large ranges as we speak. We do those hazard reduction burns so we don't have accidental fires leaving the installation. So we basically burn up, green up these impact areas and ranges so when the soldiers do come and train and fire here, we don't have an accidental fire that gets lit off. So we do a lot of outreach as it relates to our wildland fire program. We send information to the radio every day, to the paper, those type of things. So we definitely engage our general public all the time as it relates to kind of our activities here on camp.
You know, Jay, I've been coming up that way for decades fishing, and then every once in a while in the summertime you're sitting on the boat and you hear this thunder, and we look up at the sky and you say, I don't see any storms. And oh, yeah, that's Camp Ripley.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I do the same. I've fished in the spring a lot up on Gull Lake, and I'll be crappie fishing, and I'll hear, like you said, that rumble or that thunder, and I know exactly what it is. Yeah, if you get any kind of cloud ceiling or anything, you tend to have noise. It'll travel farther, so you hear that rumble or that thunder off into the distance, and that of course is our field artillery folks firing. But all of our ranges, we have a noise program, and our environmental program is engaged with that, and what we try to do is make sure all of our ranges are interior to camp. So if we are making noise, all of our demo areas are interior to camp, so we try to keep as much of the noise, what we call noise zone 1 and 2, on the installation, so we're not affecting our neighbors. But, of course, wind, low ceiling, those type of things can definitely make noise travel or sound travel. So at times you will hear the sounds of freedom.
The sounds of freedom, I love it. Jay, I think you've got one of the best jobs in the state of Minnesota on a very wonderful camp, Camp Ripley up there. And glad to hear you're doing everything possible to keep peace with the neighbors.
Yeah, we are. Again, that's part of our triple bottom line is working with our community. And we know that. You know, a lot of the 800 soldiers that work here on camp, a lot of them live in the community also. So embracing that as part of the solution, always trying to educate and show high visibility as it relates to our mission and some of our mission requirements has always been one of our most successful parts of our program. And leadership understands working with the community is critical, and they definitely do a good job at that also.
Jay, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Tom. Thank you.
It was Jay Brzezinka, the Environmental Program Manager for the Minnesota National Guard at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Commissioner Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This segment, we're going to talk to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs about sustainability. And joining me now to do that is Commissioner Larry Herkey, who was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019. Commissioner, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's great to be back with you. Just after having a short week away with each other, back again.
And, sir, we're going to talk today about what you need to do with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to meet the goals required for all state agencies to decrease the amount of energy used, water consumed, waste disposed of, and greenhouse gases emitted by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs or facilities and fleet vehicles. And, sir, it seems like we did a show some years ago when you were working on a 30-year plan for the Minnesota National Guard, and we were talking about some similar items.
Correct. At that time, Tom, we were looking at the federal requirements for reduction in solid waste, water, and energy. And we put together a plan there as it related to the facilities to be able to upgrade ourselves and meet the federal requirements. And since that time, we've actually, I had the opportunity to be the director of sustainability for the state of Minnesota. And through that position, I was able to put in place a plan for all the 24 state agencies that allowed a small office of three people to be able to help the agencies and assist them with their plans as they went forward. So it's been a great transition to be able to go from Camp Ripley to the sustainability director to into this position as commissioner now for Veterans Affairs.
And Commissioner, I understand that earlier this year you added a sustainability coordinator who's joining us right now. Would you like to introduce her?
I would. I think in January timeframe we were able to bring on Carolyn McFadden, and she's got a great background. She's worked for the MPCA and several other locations. So maybe if Tom, we can just let her talk a little bit about her background for a minute or two. That'd be great.
Carolyn, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom, and thank you, Commissioner, for the introduction. I'm Caroline McFadden. I, like the Commissioner said, I started with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January of 2020 as a sustainability coordinator. Before that, I worked for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency doing stormwater technical assistance and compliance and doing sustainable remediation. Before that, I worked for a county in Minnesota, Dakota County, and another state agency, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, doing solid waste program and policy development. So I'm really excited to be at the MDVA, where I get to combine all of my experience into one really fun job.
And you're a graduate of the University of Minnesota, so welcome back to Minnesota. And can you tell us, Carolyn, why is sustainability important to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and how does it align with the agency's mission?
Sustainability is important not just to the MDVA, but to all organizations. Specific to the MDVA, one of our main goals is to provide care and services to the veterans who have earned those services. And sustainability fits in with that because sustainability has an economic and social component to it as well. Everybody thinks of sustainability with the environmental benefits that it has, but the economic and social components are really what ties sustainability in to Veterans Affairs. Sustainability initiatives have financial savings, so this is how the MDVA best uses the resources that are provided to us. So the resources are going to the veterans in their services and their cares while not compromising our impact on the environment.
And Commissioner, I'm wondering about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs goals as far as sustainability go, and how are you going to measure the success?
Well, it's one of the things I found, Tom, when I came is that I think there had been so much focus in a lot of other areas prior to me being here that there had not been that much focus in sustainability. So our commitment here by bringing Carolyn in and also by starting to invest in some of the program areas, I think is going to pay off in the long run here for us, both, like Carolyn said, from an economic standpoint and also from an environmental standpoint. Our goals are right in line with the Executive Order 19-27, so we're looking at a fossil fuel consumption of about 30% over a period of time, a water consumption of our water usage consumption reduction of 15%. Greenhouse gas reduction of 30%, energy consumption of a reduction of about 30%, and then solid waste is a diversion, actually, of waste through either recycling or composting of 75%. And last but not least, one that we help the enterprise with is a procurement goal of making sure that we're having at least 25% of our purchases in what's called priority contracts that are green in nature. So we're following right along with the enterprise, and what we've tried to do is figure out at each campus or each location what best fits for that location and try to build upon that to meet these goals for the agency overall.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey and Carolyn McFadden, Sustainability Coordinator from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Carolyn, the Commissioner mentioned a number of places where we could make some savings on the fleet of vehicles, solid waste, water. Can you give us some examples of what you're going to work on in order to reach these goals?
Sure. For reducing our fleet fossil fuel consumption, we're working on electrifying our fleet by purchasing fully electric vehicles or plug-in hybrids. We're also looking at replacing some of our landscaping equipment that is gasoline-powered with all-electric versions, and we're working off a grant from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to make that happen across our three veterans cemeteries. To increase solid waste diversion, we're working with county partners to develop best management practices at all our homes and cemeteries and to divert organics from our back-of-house kitchen operations. And then reducing water use, we're really just looking at eliminating irrigation when necessary and installing moisture control sensors so we're not irrigating unnecessarily.
So, Commissioner, can you share with us where is sustainability at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs headed?
Well, I think, as I said before, we've got a good plan in place. I can tell you that we're integrating this into everything that we're doing as far as renovations. I can also tell you that we're working this as it relates sustainability as it relates to the new construction and the design of the new homes. So it is one of the pillars, one of the four pillars that we have in our strategic plan, and it is a critical part of what we do within Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. The more money that I can save in these types of operational items, I can then apply that directly to assistance for our veterans, both in the homes and the 308,000 veterans throughout Minnesota.
Carolyn, sounds like you've got a pretty exciting job to work for the commissioner and take care of all these sustainability issues and goals.
Yeah, I'm really fortunate to work with Commissioner Herkey. He is passionate and understands sustainability, and he's really the driving force behind what's happening at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
And Commissioner, once again, when I look, watch and everything that you've done over last year and this year, those 30 years you spent in the military give you a really good background for all the things you're trying to accomplish at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
That's what I was thinking, Tom, as we were developing the plans for the new new three homes. You know, a lot of things that I've actually learned in my last position in the military applied here, and it's just unique how things come together, and you're able to apply some of those skills across the way. I would like to add, Tom, that I think that our staffs are very excited about sustainability. And I think Carolyn's seen that as she's went out and met with the staffs, that they're ready to do this. They want to do it, and they want it to be part of the way that they operate, and they understand the importance of this as we go forward.
Carolyn, I want to wish you well, and thank you for joining us today. And, Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to get a brief update on the disaster relief and special needs grants that we talked about last week. We've been speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey and Carolyn McFadden from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we covered a huge topic in the last segment on sustainability and learned that the commissioner has a new sustainability coordinator, Carolyn McFadden, to add to his staff over there. And, Commissioner, every time I meet a new person from your staff, I'm more impressed. You've got a great staff at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
It's very fortunate, Tom, with Commissioner Shelato. I think he spent a lot of his 8 years bringing together some very talented people, and I've been able to add a few additional people onto that. But I feel very happy and very fortunate for the staff that I have.
And, Commissioner, last week you were on the show, and we were talking about a new grant program that the governor and the legislature approved funding of $6.2 million to support Minnesota veterans in the recently enacted COVID-19 response package, and it's a disaster relief and a special needs grants for veterans. How's that program going? It started, I think, a week ago Monday.
Extraordinary, Tom. We did start on April 6th was our first date. That was, as you remember from last week, that was less than 30 days from actually when I turned to my staff and said, we need to do something for direct support. They came up with a plan. We were able to brief the governor and made it through the legislature and got our first checks in the mail less than 30 days from that time that we decided we needed to do something directly for the veterans of Minnesota. And I can report to you today, we have, as of last night, we had 2,587 veterans that applied for one of the two grants. And of that, we're processing. I've moved additional staff over. I think I have doubled or tripled the staff that we normally have working on our grant requests. And as of today, we have 88 that have been approved and the checks. And I know that at least the first few veterans have received checks because we have photographic evidence that they had their check in hand. So we're trying to keep it at about a 14-day processing time is our average right now for the different grant requests. But it's been very successful so far, Tom.
Commissioner, that's been rolled out really fast with, as I said, the help of Governor Walz and the Minnesota legislature and your staff, and for checks to be out in the mail already. Wow, great job, sir. Can we just run through again who's eligible for these grants?
Yeah, there's some pretty easy eligibility, actually. You can either be a veteran or a surviving spouse of a deceased veteran, as defined by Minnesota statute. And then the second requirement, again, Tom, is to be a Minnesota resident. And the third is you just have to demonstrate that you've been negatively financially impacted by COVID-19. And again, a reminder there that it doesn't have to be the veteran. If it's a veteran family, it could be the spouse of the veteran that lost an income. And, you know, we've taken furlough notices, layoff notices, if you've been fired because of COVID-19, just straight out fired, we take all of those forms. And in the case of somebody that is self-employed, we are just taking the from the Department of Economic Development, the unemployment insurance notification there is good enough proof for us to be able to process either one of the two grant requests.
And Commissioner, there were two types of grants. The disaster relief grant for $1,000 and a special needs grant for up to $3,000. And can you tell us how do our veterans apply for those?
Well, the best way, Tom, is to go to our website, MinnesotaVeteran.org. And again, Minnesota Veteran is one word together, .org, and then /COVID relief. And COVID relief, again, is one word put together. And that'll bring you right to the landing page, and we've worked on that web page, and I think it's pretty easy. You just punch when you get start reading through. You say, go here to apply, and it'll walk you through the process, provide your information. For the disaster relief grant, you can do that directly through the website, and you just we ask for a few documents maybe from you, or at least some information and some documents. For the in the case of the special needs grant, it requires county veteran service officers' help and assistance, and all 87 county CVSOs have been trained. And I've talked to a few of them, and they told me it's fairly easy. Again, they just work with the veteran, and they actually upload the documents for you on your behalf. And they know what to ask you and what documents they need to get. And the special needs grant is up to $3,000, as you'd indicated. Focus on it there is more directly for payment of mortgages, payment of car payments, or if there's something, a bill that comes to you unexpectedly during this time, could be maybe a furnace problem or a roof or something like that. We can directly take care of that payment for you if you don't have the financial means to do it because of loss of income.
So our veterans can contact you at 1-888-LINK-VET or go to your website at minnesotaveteran.org/COVID relief for the disaster relief grants of $1,000. If they'd like to get a special needs grant for up to $3,000, they can contact their county veteran service officer and access it that way.
That's true. Either one of those methods will work. And like I said, we've had over 2,500 veterans have been successful to date in getting their submissions in.
Commissioner, what a wonderful report and great assistance for our veterans out there who have been affected by this virus. I hope we can find a treatment and a vaccine for it soon and put this in the past.
I'm hoping so, too. And just a message to veterans, here at the end, just to remember to stay at home until May 4th per the governor's directives. If you need to go out because of a medical reason or getting food, make sure you're doing your social distancing. If you feel that you have symptoms that you might need some help, make sure you do call your closest medical center for the VA. And they can, if you need those call-in numbers, those are available also on MinnesotaVeteran.org. And I just want to make sure that the veterans understand that we are here and we're ready to help with any of your normal requirements for our agency, and we're ready to help you out. So I thank you very much, Tom, for allowing us to get the messages out to our veterans.
Thank you for joining us today, Commissioner. That was Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Doug, these are real uncertain times. I don't think you and I have ever seen anything like it. Who'd have ever believed there'd be a worldwide pandemic that it would affect the United States, and it's come home to roost right here in Minnesota, and it's caused a break in the action for the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
It has, Tom, and it really has for the Patriot Guard across the country as well. Obviously, many states are in many different situations, but we are in Minnesota. We are at a stand down right now for attending funerals, and with complete candor, we haven't been asked to attend any either in about a month. So we're taking a break. We're letting our members recharge their batteries, and we're trying to stay in touch, Tom, with them. We have a weekly email that we send out to members with little notes. The mission, normally it's a listing of all of our missions. Last week I sent a note out, here's how we do all of our donations. This week Carla Richardson put together, here's how many missions we've gone to. So I'm trying to keep people informed and interested and engaged, but at the same time making sure everyone stays very safe.
Doug, I've met a lot of your writers, and they're very compassionate about going to these funerals and going to the welcome home parties and things that they do as Minnesota Patriot Guard writers. I'll bet they're just chomping at the bit, wanting to get back out there.
Oh, all we keep hearing from them is, when can we go back? And I'll be safe, and I'll stand far away from everybody. And so they would really, they would really like to go back to doing the funerals, but keeping families safe and keeping our military members safe is paramount and the most important thing. So that's why we've made the decision we did.
And I understand you're following the protocol that's basically set up by the Department of Veterans Affairs during this crisis?
Exactly. We took our lead from them and how they handle Fort Snelling National Cemetery. And we do that as our lead. To be honest, Tom, and whatever they do, we do. And so I think it just makes it a lot easier. And plus, it's easier to explain to everybody. We're doing exactly what they're doing, and I think it helps people understand it better.
And, of course, cemeteries have changed what they're doing as well. They can only have all groups of family there when we do lose a veteran, and they have to take them to the cemeteries.
Boy, and you've heard some really sad stories about people watching from their cars as, their loved ones are put into the ground, and small services, and just a really tough time for families. I think it's hard to get final closure for them. And, I think we certainly empathize. And, boy, Tom, I'll tell you, we'd sure love to be there. We'd sure love this to be normal again, and we'd sure love to be there.
Doug, I see these reports of veterans and other civilians going to the hospital with the virus, and if they go on the ventilator, that family can't see them, and if they don't make it, I think about that, and they're dying alone without their family, and then the funerals have to be sad affairs too, because you don't get an opportunity to say goodbye.
There was a radio producer for a radio show that I listened to, and he got on and talked about his father-in-law passing away, and he and his wife watched from the car. They couldn't be with him when he took his final breath, and they watched from the car at the cemetery. And so it's just difficult times. A good friend of mine actually had COVID and tested positive and said it was the worst experience of her life. And for 10 days, she was in her bedroom at home by herself because she couldn't be around her family. So I take it very serious, and I'm asking all of your listeners as well to take this very serious. It's not a joke, and if it's not just the flu, it's way more than the flu.
And, Doug, along with not going to the funerals, you're not going to visit the state veteran homes either.
And no, but I'll tell you, Tom, those are the worst ones, I think, for the residents of those homes. I think of the Minneapolis home and Silver Bay as two examples. Every month their members are there, and they're playing cards with them or bingo. And, you know, really, in many cases, it's the only time of the month someone is coming to visit those veterans. And I think that's almost even harder. I mean, you can't even watch them through the window. You can't even get close to the property. So, but again, they're very vulnerable because of their age and their health conditions, and their safety is paramount to us.
And, Doug, I'm hoping that sometime in the next month or so, maybe a little longer, that your riders can be back in action again, and it's all about honor, dignity, and respect.
Yes, it is, Tom, and easy to join. You know, we still accept new members, even though we don't have much to do. You just simply go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left-hand side, you can click Join Us, and all you need is an email address and a zip code, and you'll get on a weekly mailing list.
Doug, all of you and all your Patriot Guard riders here in Minnesota, and I hope you're back in action soon.
We do as well, Tom, and we think of our military members, and frankly, we think of their families right now. For those who are deployed and got their families at home, it's going to be awful for them. So we have prayers for everyone these days.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Doug Bly from the line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. That was Doug Bly from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran and would like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jay Brzezinka, Carolyn McFadden, Doug Bly from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about Veterans Day on the Hill and legislation aimed at helping our veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.